Chairman Grassley and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the American Farm Bureau Federation and the nation's farmers and ranchers. My name is Ellen Steen, and I'm the General Counsel and Secretary of AFBF. I've spent roughly two decades immersed in the development, implementation, and judicial review of EPA rules and policies under the Clean Water Act. I've been involved in dozens of agency rulemakings, litigated the validity and interpretation of EPA rules, and experienced firsthand the deference that courts extend to agency regulations and to agency interpretations of their rules. I'm here today because of my organization's experience over the past year with a major new Clean Water Act rulemaking by EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is a rule of extraordinary practical importance for farmers, ranchers, and most anyone else who grows, builds, or makes anything in this nation. After carefully studying the proposed rule about a year ago, we at AFBF concluded that the rule's vague and broad language would define waters of the United States to include countless land areas that are common in and around farm fields and ranches across the countryside. These are areas that don't look a bit like water. They look like land, and they are farmed. But by defining them as waters of the U.S., the rule would make it illegal to farm, yes, build a fence, cut trees, build a house, or do most anything else there without first navigating a costly and complex permitting regime. From the day it first issued the proposed rule, EPA behaved like an advocate for a decision that was already made, willing to say most anything to achieve the desired result. It waged a public relations campaign aimed directly at farmers and ranchers, providing false and misleading assurances in speeches and in blogs that the rule will not increase permitting requirements for farmers or get in the way of farming. But those of us who have litigated agency rules and agency interpretations know that courts won't give weight to today's speeches and blogs. Our experience is that EPA and the Corps will interpret their rules broadly, not narrowly. And in the enforcement proceedings that are sure to come, with an agency, a judge, and an ambiguous regulation, the agency's interpretation will be unassailable. EPA also engaged in an extraordinary social media campaign aimed at a different audience, the broader public. That campaign consisted almost entirely of non-substantive platitudes about the importance of clean water, which no one disputes. It used simplistic blogs, tweets, and YouTube videos to generate purported support for the rule among well-intended people who have absolutely no idea what the rule would actually do or what it will cost. EPA later claimed public support for the rule, even though the vast majority of those who actually read the rule, state and local governments, businesses, and organizations representing virtually every sector of the American economy, vehemently opposed it. Regardless of whether you supported, opposed, or never heard of the Waters Rule, I would hope that many of you would agree that this is not how rulemaking should be conducted. Call me old-fashioned, but I believe agencies should try to keep an open mind, or at least the appearance of an open mind, during rulemaking. They should try to be honest and transparently account for the regulatory impact and the cost of their actions, even when they expect opposition. I hope this committee's efforts will lead us in that direction. Thank you.